Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Christmas Gospel. So we look at Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. It's on page number 1588, in your pew Bibles. We have no sermon notes today, so you can make them up as we go along. Whatever suits your fancy. Before I read Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, I want to kind of set the stage, give you an introduction in the context with which we will be looking briefly at this passage. As Christmas approaches, I wonder where all of the wonder has gone. Have we lost the sense of wonder? As I watch my grandkids, and I'm excited that they're coming this afternoon to our home for the holidays extravaganza, making gingerbread houses, I can't wait to see how my four-year-old grandson does putting together a gingerbread house. That should be worth the price of admission. Anyhow, they are often filled with wonder. And I remember back when I was a kid, as I watched them, everything was, well, really wonderful. Bigger than life. Wow. Wow. Grandmom and Grandpop are coming. Grandmom makes the best gingerbread meh. Grandmom made molasses cookies that were awesome. Wow, look at all the lights on that house. That's amazing. Wow, look at all the presents under the tree. Wow, this is the best Christmas ever. Now is it? For those of us grown-ups, been there, done that, the thrill is gone, the wow factor has wound down perhaps. Just not that impressed anymore. We work harder and harder to give bigger and better gifts to try and exceed last year's gifts so that we get a little bit of the wonder. But in our grown-up sophistication, the wonder of it all sometimes seems lost. And we have only 21 days left to recapture the wonder. I'm especially thankful for my grandkids, their wide-eyed wonder, the opportunity to look. You know, we always say, as the kids are bouncing around, the grandkids or the kids, boy, I wish you could just bottle up some of that energy. Well, I wish you could just bottle up some of that amazement and wonder. There you go, exactly. You heard it. It's wonderful. Well, as we think about that, I hope that throughout this season, as we preach this series of sermons, the Christmas you've always longed for, recapturing the wonder of Christmas, I hope that the mystery and marvel of the incarnation recaptures your hearts. It's the first week of the season of Advent, preparing for Christ's coming, and in this month, we celebrate the most wonderful event in all of human history, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look through the eyes of Mary, as I read this passage, be prepared to be amazed. Take some time. Slow down. Slow down and smell the gingerbread. Slow down and remember to see the wonderful Savior. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son and are to give him the name Jesus. For he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." These 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, let us recapture the wonder of the incarnation. The wonder of the incarnation. Now, there are two main meanings for the word wonder. The word wonder can mean confusion, to question, what does this mean? For example, Mary's wondering, what kind of greeting is this? How should I be pregnant, since I am a virgin? Another main meaning for the word wonder has to do with awe and amazement, astonishment, wondering. Mary wondered and pondered all these things in her heart, wondering at the mystery of the promise. And her wondering is expressed in song in the Magnificat, beginning with the next verses, verse 46. Extraordinary, powerful, wondrous Christmas truth. The incarnate God. This truth turns all of our questions into exclamations. This truth turns our skepticism into worship as we ponder this. This truth turns confusion into wonderful joy. As we consider the implications, this truth turns our doubts and our fears into awe-filled faith. You got to wonder about the question, how do you cram all this God into that tiny little baby? How do you bring the eternal Almighty into time and space, the incarnation, the promised Messiah and King, born in a barn in Bethlehem? How does the infinite, omnipresent, all-knowing Spirit of Deity put on the skin of humanity, be confined to time and place? How did he do that? How do you figure that God, all-powerful and God, all-knowing, started kindergarten in the Nazareth preschool or elementary school? How did you say you got pregnant, Mary? Wondrous. The answer, of course, is given. Nothing is impossible with God. Say it with me. Nothing is impossible with God. Everything that you're facing today, nothing is impossible with God. After Gabriel's announcement. Can't you just hear him saying to Michael, the other archangel, now isn't that just like God to do it this way? Or the conversation in heaven going on, just imagine Abraham saying to Isaac, God gave his only son. I told you he'd keep his promise. Or again, another heavenly conversation as you hear Isaiah say to Jeremiah, I always wondered what those promises and prophecies meant. His name shall be called Wonderful. This Christmas, ponder anew the mystery of the incarnation until it captures your heart, until it captures your imagination. And even above and beyond that, remember the wonder that is to come. The wonder that is to come. You think this is great, the baby born in Bethlehem, deity in humanity. Wait till you hear the end of the story. Jesus' first advent, his first coming, is just the prelude. He's coming again in glory. The first time Jesus came humbly as a baby, his glory hidden. But there is a time coming, the next time, the second coming, he will come with trumpet fanfare, with heavenly host singing, glory to God in the highest, in final and full victory. The best is yet to come. This Advent season, prepare your hearts for his coming again. Yes, prepare for Christmas. But even more importantly, prepare for his coming again. Are you ready? There's 21 days till Christmas, but you might not get 21 days if Jesus comes as he promised any time, any moment, like a thief in the night. It could be today. Are you ready? For the day is coming when we will see the King and we shall kneel. There is a day coming when the wonder of the Savior's birth will not be lost on us. There is a day coming when we will be lost in wonder, love, and praise. There is a day coming when all of our shadows will be gone and the dawn of glorious light as he appears. There is a day coming when the heavenly chorus will sing and we shall join that chorus singing his name is wonderful. In these weeks coming, take a tip from Mary. Mary's first response to this wonderful news, the angelic announcement, no frenzy of frantic activity, so much to do, so little time. The nursery needs painting. Joseph, you better build a crib. Rather, Mary got ready. It says, and went to the hill country of Judea. Not a simple trip. Down south to see her cousin Liz. Elizabeth, Liz, Lizzie, whatever you call her. We'll call her Elizabeth. Anyhow, she went to see Elizabeth. On vacation? No. She went to see Elizabeth to compare and contrast miraculous conceptions, perhaps a little bit, to hide and cover an unplanned pregnancy? No. If you see the rest of the story, it says that Mary stayed 3 months, her first trimester, with many long walks, with many long talks with a couple who had just recently had conversations with the angel. She took time to sort out, took time to let it sink in for wonder to mature. Take some time these next 4 weeks to smell the roses. Well, smell the poinsettias. Do poinsettias smell? I don't know. Smell the gingerbread. Take some time. some extra devotional time and reflection, recapture the wonder. 21 days is all the time that you need. Slow down. Take some time away from all the craziness. Reread the Christmas gospel with childlike, wide-eyed wonder and imagination. And it'll make your Christmas. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wondrous story. We pray, Lord, that You would help us moments throughout these coming weeks to slow down and recapture the heart of Christmas, to recapture the wonder of it all, that our hearts and our minds would be filled with joy and peace and wonder. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pull out your red hymnal and let's prepare for our time in communion. Let's turn to page number 12 in the beginning of your hymnals. Page number 12. And hear the invitation of our Lord. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.